Well, we're going to be in Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, I don't think there's a more familiar passage in the Bible. I don't think there's any more famous passage in the whole Bible than Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a wonderful psalm, and really, just because it's the most familiar doesn't mean we shouldn't study it. And really, you can never wear this psalm out. You just can't wear it out. Every time it brings a blessing. Every time you hear it, it brings a blessing. Every time you read it, it brings a blessing. You could read it 1,000 times, and it still brings a blessing. And this psalm, one of the reasons it brings such a blessing to our heart is because it's all focused on the Lord. Other passages of Scripture, of course, can bring conviction of sin. Other passages of Scripture can remind us of the things we need to do. But this psalm is entirely about the Lord. And this psalm is nothing but comfort. I don't know that there's ever a funeral that this psalm is not quoted. So Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Great comfort. And really, if you think about that very first phrase of verse 1, that takes a lot of pressure off of us. Because if we remind ourselves of a simple truth, hey, He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. We only have one job. Follow the shepherd. That really simplifies life. I like simplifying things, and to me that really simplifies the Christian life. Hey, you're a sheep. And you know what a sheep's job is? Follow the shepherd. Sheep don't chart their own course. When they do, they get into trouble. Sheep need a shepherd. So your job is not to chart your own course. Your job is not to lead your own way. Your job is simply to follow. Follow the shepherd. So that removes a lot of pressure. And it really brings great comfort because when you think about it, the Lord is my shepherd. What better shepherd could you ask for? What better leader could you ask for? The Lord is my shepherd. When you think about the Lord being your shepherd, a shepherd has many jobs. Obviously, it's the shepherd's responsibility to care for the sheep. And when you think about the fact that the Lord is your shepherd, that means there's going to be no oversights. This shepherd, the Lord, won't ever neglect the sheep. He will never forget to meet the needs of the sheep. He never gets tired, and he has unlimited resources. You see, a human shepherd can get tired, can run out of resources, can get sick. Who knows, any number of things where a human shepherd might be unable to care for the sheep. But the Lord is our shepherd, and He never gets sick, He never gets tired, He never runs out of resources. Amen. So what a good shepherd we have. Amen. Now remember last week, we studied Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 was a difficult psalm as far as it wasn't a very happy psalm for most of it. It was a lot of sadness when we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But do we agree that you can't have Psalm 23 without Psalm 22? Yes. Psalm 23 would never be true for us if Christ hadn't gone through Psalm 22. And that's why Jesus in John 10, let's turn to John 10 as we talk about the Lord being our shepherd. Look at what Jesus said about being our shepherd. John chapter 10. So your first line there is, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." But look at John 10. And we'll start with verse number 11. And this is the important verse that we need to look at. John 10 verse 11. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And that's exactly what he did. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And in verse 12, he talks about those that are a hireling and not the shepherd. They run away when trouble arrives. They see a wolf coming and they run. That's a hireling, the Bible says. That's somebody that's paid to be a shepherd. He's not the normal shepherd. Maybe he's a temporary shepherd. And he just runs away when trouble comes. He doesn't care about the sheep. They're not really his sheep. So he just leaves them. But see, the Lord never does that. He doesn't leave. Look at verse 13. "The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and he doesn't care. He careth not for the sheep. The good shepherd cares. He cares about the sheep. And he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He says, I not only care for them, but I know them. I know each sheep personally. You think about all the sheep the Lord has. He knows every individual sheep. He knows every individual, and He knows you more than you know yourself. He made you. He created you. He knows everything about you. Then, if you skip down to verse 27, here's where it talks about us. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is how we tell who is a sheep and who is not. The true sheep follow Christ.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean that we never get off the pathway. We do. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. So it's not that we never get off the pathway, but a true sheep is going to get back on, because the shepherd will go after that sheep. He will go after that sheep and he'll bring it back. Adela?
Yeah, I was testifying to somebody at my work. Yes, I know Jesus. He's God, you know, saying, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I know.
He's just saying. Right.
And I say, okay, you know Jesus, but then Jesus knows you.
Right. That's a good question, because that's what Jesus will say to many in that day. Depart from me, I never knew you. You see, so if you're a true sheep of the Lord, He knows you and you know Him and you hear His voice, it says in verse number 27, and you follow Him. So, when you write your first line, the Lord is my shepherd. You think about the word is. No questions here. The Lord is my shepherd. He is, not maybe. I think He's my shepherd. No, He is my shepherd. And the word my, personal. He's not a shepherd. He's not even necessarily just the shepherd, but He's my shepherd. You think about each word of that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. And this, when you think about the fact of saved people having the Lord as their shepherd, it reminds us of how sad the life of the unsaved person is. Because the life of the unsaved person is described in Matthew 9. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9:36. And if somebody would like to read that, this verse, Matthew 9:36, is the life of the unsaved person. Sad description.
But when he saw in the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
No shepherd. Sad words. Unsaved people have no shepherd. So they're like scattered sheep, he says in verse 36. They're going this way, that way, they're lost. You understand that sheep are defenseless animals? Completely defenseless animals. They don't have big claws that they can fight back with. They're just these big, round, white, fluffy animals that are basically easy prey for any predator. That's the life of a sheep. That's why sheep need a shepherd. But you understand, the life of an unsaved person is a sheep without a shepherd. Just wandering around, easy prey for the devil, and they're fainting, they're weak, they don't know where to go, they're living a life of no direction, they're just wandering around with no guidance. That's what Jesus sees when He looks at the unsaved. And it says He was moved with compassion when He looked at these people. He was looking at a group of people. He had compassion on them. He said, these people have no shepherd. We should remind ourselves about that. Unsaved people have no shepherd.
Amen.
And we need to lead them to the shepherd. We need to introduce them to the shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. So that's a sad thought. Now when we think back of Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore, since the Lord is my shepherd, the next phrase is, I shall not want. The word want in the Bible often means lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Meaning, I won't lack anything in my life. I'll have everything I need. Not necessarily everything I want, but God will see to it that I have everything I need. I shall not lack. That's what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't be missing anything. I'll have a complete life. Now, verse 2 is where we see what he does for us. What are some of the things that this good shepherd does for us? Well, one first thing, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's your next blank. Green pastures. You think about green pastures, a beautiful field of green grass. It's a peaceful place. A pasture is a peaceful place. It's a place where the sheep can graze free of worry because they know the shepherd's right there. They don't have to worry. Spurgeon compares the green pastures here. You see the quote. What are these green pastures but the scriptures of truth? He compares it to the scriptures. You could think of the Bible as a green pasture, a place where the sheep can feed. What do we feed on? We feed on the Word of God. So he compares the green pastures to the scriptures. I think that's a good comparison. Always fresh, always rich, and never exhausted. You're never going to run out of food from the Word of God. It'll feed you every day. And sheep need to eat every day, don't they? And we are sheep. And spiritually, we need to eat every day. Not just once a week on Sunday, but every day we need to feed ourselves. Every day we need the green pastures. And that's one thought about the green pastures. And he makes us to lie down there. We can rest. See, the sheep, when the shepherd's nearby, doesn't have to be afraid. You don't have to live a life of worry. Because you know the shepherd's with you. So he leads us there. Or he makes us to lie down. The next phrase is, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I think of that picture at the top of your paper. A sheep by the still waters. Calm. The word still waters can also be said in this way. Waters of quietness. Quiet waters. Still waters. Not rushing waterfalls. You can't drink from a rushing waterfall. Okay? Not a raging river. No. Still, calm waters. Waters of quietness. And this is really what the life of a Christian should be. It doesn't mean that things don't get crazy on the outside of our life or around us. Our surroundings can get a little bit crazy. But inside, it should be calm. Now let's look at some verses that talk about this. Look at Proverbs 14. The internal life of a Christian should be one of calmness. We shouldn't get all worked up all the time. And I know that's easier said than done, right? That's easier said than done. But we should not get all worked up all the time. Still waters. Calm. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 30. And here the Bible uses this word. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Now that word sound has the idea of calm. The sound, like for example, on certain bodies of water, there's the ocean side and then there's what they call the sound because it's calm, there's no waves. And that's what the word sound in Proverbs 14 means. Notice, a calm heart. A calm heart versus, let's look at James 1. James 1 gives us the opposite. This is what we don't want to be. Look at James 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. If somebody would read that for us. James 1, 6.
Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and
tossed. Tossed around, waves of the sea, always moving, never resting. James says, don't be like that. Don't be wavering and always going here or there and flip-flopping and always changing your mind and always worrying or whatever it is, always wavering inside. Some people, the inside of their life is just like a turbulent ocean. It's like a storm, like a sea in a storm. And their heart is always going like big waves. The Bible says we should be like the still waters. Calm. Jesus can calm the troubled sea. He did that with the disciples. So that he took the Sea of Galilee that was raging in a storm, and he said, "Peace be still," Amen. And it calmed and became a placid lake. So if Christ can do that, he can take a troubled heart, and he can say to it, "Peace be still," and you can be calm. But we have to look to him for that, don't we? Sometimes we don't look to him. Sometimes we get worked up and we stay worked up because we don't look to the Lord and we don't ask him to calm us. But the Bible says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters," you see? He takes us to a calm place, to a quiet place. Again, it doesn't mean that we won't enter the storms. We will. But when we enter the storms, we can say, "Lord, calm me. Keep me calm at least. Maybe everything around me might be crazy, but keep me calm at least. Let your heart be calm." Like Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Just be still. So I like that word, still waters. That's where Christ leads us. He doesn't lead us to the waterfalls. He doesn't lead us to the stormy sea. Sometimes he takes us through a storm, but he ultimately leads us to the still waters, a calm place where a sheep can drink. And Spurgeon compares these still waters to the influences of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can bring calmness to you. You see, that's not a work of the flesh. A work of the flesh is when we get all worked up. But the Holy Spirit can bring calmness. Still waters. So that is where the sheep like to be. Still waters. And that's where we should try to be. Now, Psalm 23, verse 3. "He restoreth my soul." He restoreth my soul. Only Christ can restore a soul. Only Christ can bring a believer back to a place of restoration where you're maybe again, you get off the pathway. Christ can restore you and place you back where you need to be. He restores our soul. And then it says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." The paths of righteousness. There's a lot of paths in life. A lot of different ways to go. He leads us into the paths of righteousness. Amen. Righteousness means a life of obedience. A life where we obey God's word. He'll lead us in that way. But again, you won't know the paths of righteousness if you're not in His word. Amen. If you're not in the Bible, you're not going to know the paths of righteousness. But if you're in the word of God, He will lead you to the paths of righteousness. He'll show you the right way to take. You come to the fork in the road, which way do I go, left or right? Well, you ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, which way should I go?" And He'll lead you. So He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And notice, for His name's sake. He does it because He wants us to bring glory to Him. So you can always be sure He's going to lead you the right way. He wants you to go the right way. So if you ask Him to show you the right way, He will. For His name's sake, for His glory. And then verse 4, famous verse. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me."
Amen.
"Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Notice, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, see the word for your blank, shadow of death. You know, you shouldn't be afraid of a shadow. Right? Don't be afraid of shadows. It's the shadow of death. And the quote here, we're going to look at some verses about this, but the quote here is, observe that it's not walking in the valley, but through the valley. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death." We go through the dark tunnel of death and emerge into the light of immortality. We do not die, we do but sleep and wake in glory. You know, the Bible calls the death of a Christian sleep. We go to sleep here on earth, never to wake again here, to awake up in heaven.
Amen.
That's what the Bible calls it. He says here, death is not the house, it's just the porch. Alright? It's just the porch. You know, death is not permanent. You die here on earth, but you wake up in glory. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now let's look at why we shouldn't be afraid of death. Look at Hebrews 2. So the Christian does not need to fear death. What a blessing. If there ever was a fearful thing in this world, it's death.
Amen.
Death is the result of sin. Death is a result of the curse. Nobody looks forward to dying, unless you're a morbid person. Nobody looks forward to dying, but we as Christians shouldn't be afraid of it either. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," meaning Christ, "also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Christ died for us, it says here, to bring us that eternal life so that we don't have to fear death anymore. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says that the devil used to have that power of making people afraid of death. And Jesus conquered the devil. We know that. Look at another verse, 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. We should not live in fear. 1 John 4, 18. If somebody would read that for us. You got it, Brother Tony? 1 John 4, 18. Chapter 4. No, I think somebody's got it. Miss Esther, or Miss Juanita, go ahead.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. The fear hath torment. He that fears is not a perfect love.
Don't live a life of fear. Fear brings torment. You don't have to be afraid. Look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And if somebody would read that, again, another verse that tells us not to live in fear. For, 2 Timothy 1, 7.
For God hath no given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
Right there. You don't have to live a life of fear. He's given you love, power, sound mind. And one more verse, Philippians. This Philippians 1:21. This is the attitude that Paul had about death. Paul was not afraid to die. The Apostle Paul, listen to his words in Philippians 1:21. He said, "If I die, it's all gain. I gain heaven if I die." So that was Paul's attitude towards death. Paul was not afraid to die. He said, "I'm ready." He said in another place, "I'm ready. I'm ready to go." And that should be our attitude when it's our time. Don't be afraid. And remember the wording of Psalm 23? It says, "I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me."
Amen.
You know, when it's our turn to face death, you can rest assured that the Good Shepherd will be there to hold your hand.
Amen.
He's going to be there holding your hand. And He's going to be there to carry you through the valley of the shadow of death so that you will be taken up to glory. So it's this psalm, again, Psalm 23, and this is why it's so often quoted in funeral services, because it brings comfort. It brings comfort. It says we don't have to fear death. He's with us. He's going to hold us through, and He is with us. And it says, I don't have to fear any evil. I don't have to be afraid of the valley of the shadow of death. Sure. That's why everybody says they want to go when they're sleeping, right? True, that's probably is the best way. But however the Lord does take us, some die of natural causes, others die different ways. We just don't know. God doesn't reveal that to us, and I'm glad He doesn't. I don't want to know how I'm going to go. I don't want to know. But I do know whenever that time comes, the Lord's with me. I don't have to be afraid of death. You see, again, think about the unsaved. Could there be anything worse than being at death's door without a shepherd? I don't think there could be anything worse. That's why the life of a Christian is the most wonderful, blessed life. The life of an unsaved person to face death without Christ, that's scary. So, we don't have to be afraid of that. Then the next phrase on your paper is from the end of verse 4. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Here's defenseless sheep. They have no weapons, but their shepherd does. And that shepherd will use that rod to defend the sheep. And when David was a shepherd, he had a slingshot. And he had a weapon. You see, the sheep don't really have many weapons. But the shepherd has good weapons. And the shepherd can use these weapons for different things. Okay, the staff can be used to help a sheep, pull a sheep back in line. Okay, the rod can be used to hit an animal on the head that's coming to attack the sheep, whatever it may be. So thy rod and thy staff, they bring comfort. You know that the shepherd will protect you. He has the weapons to protect you better than you ever can. So the psalmist here says, I'm comforted by my shepherd's weapons and the things that he can use. And then verse 5. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He prepares a table before us. Even when enemies are around, we can be at a table. Again, no panic. No panic for the life of a believer. No panic. Even in the midst of spiritual warfare, because we are always surrounded by spiritual enemies and things of that nature, we don't have to be afraid. The Lord still prepares a table for us to sit at and eat at. Let's look at some other verses in Psalm. We've already studied these verses months ago. Psalm 3. Psalm 3, 5 and 6. We studied these months ago, and this was when David was being, Psalm 3, running from his son Absalom. He was living a life of running. Psalm 3, and it says in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. David said, I don't have to be afraid of my enemies. And look at Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 4, 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
Amen.
The quiet, peaceful life of a believer. There's no reason for any Christian to be worrying all the time and always fearful. That's not what God wants us to live like. Yes?
Believe it or not, only there is moment that you care for whether or not you for one bird that helped me to remember all the promises that he, you know, that specifically that song is when Paul said, because I know who I believe.
Yes.
You know, that statement. Say so many things, and then I try to remember every time I say,
yes.
You know, worry, care.
Sure. You know, that's a good illustration. You apply, you take these verses and you apply them to the life of Paul. If a man ever, if an apostle ever was in a life of danger, Paul. And interestingly, God didn't always spare Paul of trouble. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Paul was thrown into prison. So the life of a sheep with the Lord as your shepherd doesn't always mean that you're not going to face hard times, because Paul did. But nevertheless, the Lord was always with Paul. And Paul didn't go until it was his time to go. They tried to kill him. They tried that one time when they threw the stones at him. But God says, not your time to go yet, Paul. And God still had a job for Paul to do. So it doesn't mean that you won't get into dangerous situations. But you can still rest assured that the Lord is with you. And the Lord was with Paul. And Paul even said that. He said in one of the passages of his epistles, he said, though all men have forsaken me, yet the Lord stood with me, he said.
Amen.
So even when everybody else leaves you, he said, the Lord is still with me. So that's a good reminder there. But notice, he still prepares a table before us. Even when the enemies are around, we don't have to be afraid. And then in Psalm 23, verse 5, the second part, thou anointest my head with oil. What is oil in the Bible? The Holy Spirit is pictured by oil. And let's look at 1 John chapter 2. He anoints us with oil. 1 John 2. Now when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. The Bible teaches that. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. But the Bible then teaches, after you're saved, you still need to be filled with the Spirit. You still need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. If you don't, you can do what the Bible says of quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit. But look at 1 John 2 and verse 20. Listen to this word. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That word unction is referring to the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit gives us the power to serve. You can't serve the Lord without the Holy Spirit giving you the power to do it. What turned the fearful disciples who were hiding in a room after Christ was crucified, what turned them into bold preachers? It was the Holy Spirit. It was. The Holy Spirit did it. And that's what gave them the boldness. And look at verse 27. It talks about it in verse 27. Again, just like we're reading in Psalm 23. The anointing, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit is our best teacher, is what that verse is saying. The Holy Spirit is your best teacher. He gives you the unction, the power to serve. And listen to what Spurgeon wrote on your paper. Every Christian is a priest. Right? Every believer is a priest. That's what the Bible teaches. Not just a select group that some people say are priests and we have to go to them. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says we're all priests. And therefore, we need that unction to fulfill our priestly duties. To perform the office of a priest. They needed that Holy Spirit unction. So we have to go to the Lord every day and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Or, Lord, anoint my head with oil today. Yes.
That's why I'm not really 100% English person, but Holy Spirit touched me. Yes. That's why I believe God,
yeah.
Voice of faith. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, oh, probably you're good English, I don't know. God teach me.
Right, amen. That's good. Holy Spirit is your best teacher. And we need to pray every day. Say, Lord, anoint me with oil. Give me the power to serve you. Holy Spirit power to say the right things. Holy Spirit power to do the right things. If we prayed that prayer every day, I think it would keep us out of a lot of trouble.
Amen.
If we said, Lord, may the Holy Spirit give me the right words to say and the right and show me the right things to do,
wisdom.
It would keep us out of trouble. It would. And then, back in Psalm 23, as we make our way towards the end, he anoints our head with oil, and then it says, my cup runneth over. I couldn't fit that on this paper, but you understand what that means. It just means over abounding in blessings. Overflowing cup. Overfull. So much that the cup can't hold it. That's a blessing. That's what God does for us. When we're walking with Him, when we're obedient sheep, because one thing we haven't talked about, because it's not really mentioned in this psalm, but it's true, is sometimes the job of the shepherd is to discipline a sheep. A disobedient sheep. And I've read books about shepherding where sometimes a sheep that is so bent on disobeying the shepherd and so prone to keep going away that the shepherd actually may have to break a leg of the sheep. And you say, what? That's cruel. But then the shepherd takes up the sheep's leg and makes sure that it heals properly. But you know what happens? That sheep stays by the shepherd from that point forward. He never goes astray again. And you know, the Bible teaches that sometimes when a Christian is disobeying the Lord and they refuse to get something right, God has to step in and maybe break a limb. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And we don't want to fall under the chastening hand of the Lord, do we? So if there's something in our life and we know it's wrong, but we don't get it right, we're just asking for chastening. We're asking for the Lord to come and chasten us. So it's either you get it right, or you're going to make God step in and make it right. And you're better off making it right yourself.
Amen.
So that's the other side. But my cup runneth over. Blessings. God wants to bless you. If you're obedient, He wants to bless you. And then verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. And it says here, goodness supplies our needs and mercy blots out our sins. That's a blessing. Goodness and mercy will always follow us as long as we are following the shepherd. You can be sure you'll be followed by goodness and mercy. And lastly, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What better place to end? I will dwell. So let's not forget that heaven is our true home. And let's not forget that we're just passing through this world. And let's not forget what the Bible teaches, that life is short. Life is too short to spend it worrying or complaining or being upset about things. Life is too short. It's a vapor, the Bible says, and we are just sheep on a journey following the shepherd to our eternal home. That's all we are. We're just sheep following the good shepherd, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the Lord is my shepherd. Comforting psalm, a great psalm, and you can never wear it out. And next week we'll study, I think, Psalm 27. I believe that's the one. Psalm 27, and then we're going to move on to another book after that. And we could be in Psalms for the next 5 years if we really wanted to, but I think we'd rather, you know, cover more of the Bible. But it's been a good study. Next week we'll study Psalm 27. Let's close in prayer.